Monday, July 17th at approximately 8:30 p.m. Someone threw a brick through the window of this particular location. This brick had graffiti on it, some anti-Semitic graffiti that was on it. We've had, off the top of my head, we've had at least two others that we know for a fact are anti-Semitic.
Okay, now what? This is Police Chief Eric Randall talking during D.C. Reeves' press conference on Tuesday, and you know, I had read the story about the one, and he said there were at least two other incidents involving anti-Semitic expressions or incidents. So let's find out what's going on. Mike Wood is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the program, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Candy.
Good morning.
Andrew, before we get started, I just want to let you know that I do know who you are. And congratulations on the Marconi Award nomination.
Oh, you're
so
sweet.
Much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. That's very kind. So what is going on here? Is this a pattern? How serious are these incidents? Tell me what I don't know.
Well, we've had three incidents, and we're taking those very seriously because of simply what happened, the anti-Semitic writings, the graffiti, the message on the brick. So there's been three of them, and we have detectives working on that, and hopefully we'll be able to make an arrest on that soon. So, you know, this can be could be a hate crime. It all depends. You know, if you have a 10-year-old that's doing it that just copied things from off the internet, is that a hate crime? Probably not. But if we arrest somebody that we find lots of things on their computer, we find things at their home and things like that that make it no doubt that it's a hate crime. So that kind of distinction needs to wait until we make an arrest.
No, that's fair. You know, I don't know if I should tell this story, but it gets to your point about inadvertency. I mean, I remember when I was like, gosh, 5 or 6, and I had made a paper airplane. And knowing no better, I had drawn the swastika on the tail of it or whatever. And my mom was like, no, you know, you know, so it's, you got to tell whether, are we dealing with, like you said, you know, a kid, or are we dealing with something that's really deliberate? Now, I know the one at the temple, and then I guess graffiti at the train station was another one. What was the third incident?
At East Hill Animal Clinic or Animal Hospital.
Okay. All right. So this is ongoing, just trying to figure out, aside from the fact that they were three anti-Semitic incidents or graffitis or vandalism, I mean, is there any other evidence at this point linking them? Is it the timeliness of them all together? You tell me. You know better. I don't know.
Well, other than the timing, all three were close together. That's the only link that we have between the timing and the content. So,
okay.
Yeah, until we're able to make an arrest, we can't say for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. We'll look forward to finding out more about that. This incident on Palafox with the guy in the mask and the machete and the taser and the clanging sound of the machete not being in his possession anymore, this is scary to imagine how people might have reacted to this. He could easily have wound up getting killed over this. Thank goodness the officers chose a less lethal form of response. But, man, what an awful incident.
Yeah, you know, I'm always talking about how these officers have to make split-second decisions, and that was one of them. They were on Palafox. There's a lot of pedestrians down there. And to use the firearm certainly would have been justified in this situation. But they have to think about what's beyond that individual. And if there's pedestrians back there, then maybe you need to try less lethal first. And that's what they did. And fortunately, it worked.
Yeah. And they yelled several times, you know, drop it, drop it, drop it. Why don't people just drop it? I just don't get it. You know, you can save yourself an awful lot of problems. And instead, he didn't and he doesn't. And so, I mean, there we go. We also I know you and I had talked about this last week, but I just want to, you know, check in. Do we have any more information on the shooting that took place at Creighton last week?
No, that one's still under investigation. We have investigators working on that. The last time I checked with them, they had not run into any brick walls on that particular case. So hopefully that one will come to a conclusion soon as well.
All right, very good. And I guess there was a kind of an unusual incident that took place at the Sonic, or, you know, in the vicinity of the Sonic on 9th Avenue.
Yeah, officers responded to the Sonic in reference to a male that was selling stolen property from a previous burglary on East Jordan Street. The individual fled over to 7-Eleven Underwood, which is an apartment complex near there. Officers made contact and arrested him. And meanwhile, here comes someone else running in that direction and being chased by an employee at Pensacola State College. And it turns out that individual burglarized the school and took a laptop, and he ran right toward Pensacola police who were working that previous case, and he was taken into custody too. So it wasn't his day.
That's just like a movie or a TV show.
You guys are in the middle of making arrest on Underwood with this other stolen property case, and the PSC campus security police, I don't know which, chases a thief running away with a laptop right into your net. that's crazy.
Yeah. It was one-stop shopping for bad guys at that point.
That's hilarious. So I guess the rule is, you know, if you see police in the area, try to chase your thieves in that direction. I got to ask this. Is there comparable body cam of the guy suddenly realizing what's happening and dropping the laptop to the ground for that clanging around like the machete drop? Or is there nothing like that, is there?
I haven't looked. Probably not. I'm sure that he realized he ran in the wrong direction fairly quickly, though.
Oh, man. I would love to see the expression on his face. Just, what did I run into? Yeah. Quick timeout. We'll get back to Mike Wood in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
I'm into this. As we take a look at our roads, we're not showing any slowdowns or delays. It looks like everything is running fine. Not showing any problems on 29. That looks accident-free. We're watching areas where the lights, that's the only congestion I'm seeing, and nothing too long. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text it in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, you were telling me that you actually have kind of a connection with this director of police down in Miami who attempted to take his life. Is that right?
Yeah, I do. Freddie Ramirez, Director Ramirez is his name. He comes to the PIO workshops that I attend every year, comes in, introduces himself to the class. He has lunch with us. And I've got to tell you, what an outstanding individual this man is. The people that work for him, officers that work under him, say that he is a great motivator and leader. And for something like this to happen to him, where he shot himself in the head, is just, it was very shocking to me and everybody that knows him. So, this just goes to show, something like this, you never know what people are fighting on the inside. It can happen to absolutely anyone. And, if things like that, if you're fighting those demons inside, just, you know, I urge people to reach out. You know, you can call the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, or just simply talk to somebody before doing something drastic like that. But yeah, it was shocking. He's a wonderful person.
You know, it reminds me of, it's a very different circumstance, but you'll tell me if I'm making a completely inappropriate connection. I remember talking with former police chief Tommy Leiter after the the race incident, where he said that, look, what happens is, officers sometimes go through trauma that accumulates over time, and it's not necessarily one big event, but it's just, you know, things pile up and accumulate, and, you know, like plaque in the arteries kind of thing in your brain, and over time, and then suddenly something just snaps or goes wrong or whatever, and it, you know, somebody can seem like they're handling it, and sometimes they pretend to be handling it and they're not, but it's not necessarily a thing that can set somebody off, but it can just be all of the accumulated trauma and the things that police officers see over the course of their careers. Am I misreading this situation, or?
No, that's exactly right. You know, officers see more traumatic things in a month than most people will ever see in their lifetimes. So you take an officer that goes 20, 25, 30 years of service, that can build up. But, fortunately, it used to be back in the day, you only went to see a counselor if something traumatic happened to you, or you were involved in it, or you witnessed it. Now we have the option of going anytime we want to, which is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, no, and it's good to have that, and good to have the, you know, sort of have to go every once in a while just to make sure. Let's check everybody out and make sure that they're getting the help and diagnosing things before they're to that stage, obviously. Last thing that we always like, well, my, I know this is a very difficult thing for you to go through, so I'm so sorry that you're having to deal with that. Even though he lives, still very difficult to deal with. I hate to dwell on this, but because it makes you sort of doubt everybody, because it makes you think, well, who am I working with that's going through this same stuff? And it starts to make you wonder even about you. I mean, that's just a very normal reaction to when something unexpected like that happens to a person that you thought otherwise was doing great. Just like when you're you know, your best friends are having a great marriage, and all of a sudden they announce they're getting divorced, and you think, oh my God, everything's up. And so I know that is also a shared trauma to everybody else in the police, right?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the Pensacola Police Department is no stranger to an incident like that, which, you know, something happening like that you never saw coming with certain individuals. So, yeah, just want people to reach out and ask for help. And before you do anything drastic, just give the professionals an opportunity to help.
All right. Very good. Last thing that we always like to end on is a did you know, or a cop myth, or a why do we do that? Do you have one for this week, Mike?
Yeah, and this is a rerun because it happens all the time, and I got a question about it this week, so I felt like we needed to talk about it again. And people want to know why, if they just went through a stop sign or some very minor traffic issue, why do two Pensacola police officers come to that traffic stop? And it makes them feel, you know, they feel intimidated. They feel like that they're being treated as a criminal. And that's not the intent at all. What that is a policy that we have for officer safety reasons, that when you stop a car or you get out with a person for a field interview or any other call, just about everything we do, we're going to send at least another officer for backup until we know that that situation is going fine. And then that officer can break and go someplace else if he needs to. So it has nothing to do with a person being stopped. It's just officer safety reasons.
Well, and I mean, as something that I had learned from doing ride-alongs with y'all several years ago, is the picture you have from the television or the movie is that you have two cops riding in this car all the time, and it's often just one police officer, and of course you want an additional officer on the scene, both from the officer safety point of view, but also from the, you know, the person being just stopped point of view. That's more eyes, that's more involvement, that's always better for everybody involved. And again, because, you know, single people in cars, it's good to have an extra person. So that makes perfect sense. I'm glad you addressed that for us. Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thanks for doing what you do to keep us safe and to keep us informed, sir. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
You bet. 751.